Now to a story about to make it big in the literary world, even if the odds are against you. And that's the moral of the tale, that you can make it big in the literary world, even if the odds are against you. The British author Sally Gardner is severely dyslexic, and yet she's written this year's winner of UK's Carnegie Medal for Children's Writing. The medal is for children's writing and for writing for young adults. It's a little bit like winning the Booker, I guess. So Sally's won this award for her book Maggot Moon. It's the story of Standish Treadwell, who's a dyslexic boy living in a dystopian 1950s Britain, where people routinely disappear, are tortured, or forced into slavery. Standish Treadwell's parents are nowhere to be found, and at 15 he copes by escaping into an imaginary world with his best friend Hector. It's a world familiar to Sally Gardner, as she explains to Rhiannon Brown.
I didn't really know what I was doing when I started it. I'd finished a book called Double Shadow, and I was very interested in the what-if histories, sort of what would have happened if different things had happened. And I really started it like that and found that I loved the voice of my character. And the story just sort of unfolded from there.
So what is the what-if that you're playing with in this novel?
Well, the what-if really is, I never like to name it. I've thought about this quite a lot because, you know, people say, oh, go on, tell me it's this and tell me it's that. And actually, I think it's to do with all oppression, you know, any society that breaks down and ends in an oppressive manner. So whatever the motherland is, that is what it is. And however the war split itself and found itself, England is under a rule of something quite dire in Maggot Moon. And the whole of the motherland theory is to land a rocket on the moon, which would ultimately prove world supremacy. And so I really played with the what-if histories in that way.
And your central protagonist is a schoolboy called Standish Treadwell. Is he, what sort of situation has he found himself in this dystopian England?
Well, he's in an area called Zone 7, and Zone 7 is pretty much where you're not going to go anywhere very fast. He's dyslexic. He has two different coloured eyes. And by all rights, he shouldn't be there. I mean, he should have been picked up and got rid of years ago. And so he finds himself with his parents missing and being looked after by his grandpa, who is doing his best to keep everything safe and make a sort of normal life around something that's quite unnormal. And into all that comes some neighbours called the Lushes, and they have a son called Hector. And really, Hector is the first time in Standish's life he's ever been understood.
I suppose you could say that Maggot Moon is quite a dark book and a disturbing read in many ways. What sort of feedback have you had from young readers so far on the novel?
Well, on the Carnegie, they have a wonderful shadowing site where lots of reviewers can leave, you know, children can leave their reviews. It's been a book that people either really loathe or love. And there has been a lot of, I'm very confused by this book. I hate this book. And I really love this book. It's the best book ever. So I do think it's too tricky for the younger age group in the Carnegie. I think, you know, you need to have a little bit older to sort of understand it.
So what age is it appropriate for?
I think from sort of 12 upwards.
And let's just talk for a brief moment about the main character being dyslexic, although that's never named in the book. You suffered from dyslexia all your life too.
Yes.
In fact, quite badly you describe it, and it's quite incredible that you became a writer. Can you tell me about that journey and also why you wanted to have your character so-called suffering from that condition in this book?
Well, I didn't set out to write a dyslexic character. And in fact, it wasn't really until I handed the book in that my publicity people said, well, he's dyslexic. Oh, God, yes. And it sort of dawned on me because I am, it's the way I think in a way. The way Standish is wasn't very hard to write, because I just went back to how I think, and it sort of worked.
When you say the way you think, what do you mean by that? Because most of us understand dyslexia to be an issue of having trouble reading, that the words jump around on the page, but it's more than that.
It is much more than that. I describe us as picture thinkers. I mean, I think we think in a three-dimensional way. Lots of people think in pictures, and that isn't really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ability to create worlds in one's heads and layers of things, and to see things in pictures. And I tried to give Standish as much picture imagery as I could in the way he describes the world. And you asked me about how I became a writer. I was always a storyteller. And I think that's very important for every writer has to be a sort of storyteller in a way. And I worked in theatre for years. And that was very, very helpful in seeing what story can be riveting and when it can actually sort of die in front of the audience. And the question about how do I do it, because I'm so severely dyslexic, I have to say a big thank you to Steve Jobs and the Apple Mac, because it really has enabled me to write in a way that I think. So I write.
How's that, Sally? How has the computer helped you?
Well, I write in colours, so I will start the morning in a red. I'll double space it. I have a dyslexic font, which means that the B's have more weight on them and the G's have weight. So they don't spin around, really. They stay static. They stay still, rather. And then I double space as well. And then in the afternoon, I will start in another colour. And then at the end of the day, I sort of patch it all together, what I like and what is good.
And why do you go from colour to colour?
Well, I think it helps me see where I'm at in my work, what I'm up to, what I've done, and then it ends up looking a bit like a patchwork quilt by the time I finish with it, and then I just put it back into black, so no one need know. I mean, everybody's got to have their own way of dealing with words that are bouncing around, and I have. That's my way of dealing with it.
It must have taken, though, an enormous amount of courage to become a writer when you'd struggled with that all your life. And you know, you describe the experience of having severe dyslexia as a child as extremely painful.
Well, it is extremely painful because I still, to this day, we don't really, if we educated in a more imaginative and more broader way, we would be encompassing a lot more children who suffer badly from dyslexia. And we would be, but we don't. And that is the real big problem. And so we're sort of borderlined. And some of the most gifted children, I think, in the world most probably, are going through not a great time at the moment because of this.
Yeah, so we could be harnessing all that creative talent, but in fact we're saying you don't fit into our models, so you don't count. You're not good enough.
And that is our fault, not the child's fault. And that I feel passionate about that. And it's one of the reasons I've stood up and said I am dyslexic, because I cannot bear the word disabled attached to us. I mean, I don't think there's very much disabled about me. I just have to work very hard at what I do. But many people do that.
Rhiannon Brown speaking there to Sally Gardner. What an extraordinary insight that is into dyslexia. I wonder whether you're like me and never really understood what it was all about. So much to know, isn't there? Her award-winning book is called Maggot Moon. That's Sally Gardner's book, Maggot Moon, and it's published by 5 Mile Press.